Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about the Kingdom of God. Of course, in order to talk about the Kingdom of God, we're going to have to talk about Christ. And if we're going to talk about Christ, we ought to know who Christ was. Who was Christ? What was he here for? What was he trying to accomplish? What does he want us to accomplish? What did he tell us to do? What is Christ's opinion of who Christ is? There's so many opinions out there as to what Christ taught that there's now thousands, tens of thousands of denominations out there, all teaching something a little bit different. And if you go through the church doctrines that are out there, you're going to see strange variations. You're going to see a great deal of men's opinion about what Christ taught, but you're going to see, actually in many churches, you're going to actually see very little of what Christ actually said himself. I found this to be absolutely amazing when I went and looked up what these different churches have as a doctrine. We actually find that a great many of those doctrines have very little in common, very little bit of quotations of what Christ actually said to do and be. That shouldn't be. We put together a series of quotes of Christ from the New Testament, from the different Gospels, specifically in the Gospels, what he said, and we put those together in some kind of an order where you see him say it in one Gospel and then over on the side, you see him repeat the same idea in another gospel. It has come to our attention how many, by doing that exercise, we have come to the realization that an awful lot of churches have doctrines that really have very little to do with what Jesus actually said to do and what he was actually telling his apostles to do. One of the things that Jesus did is he came preaching a kingdom, the kingdom of God at hand, and he told us to do the same. In creating that doctrine that we laid out, Christ's words only, came to realize that an awful lot of churches don't have any kind of doctrine that is intensely making reference to Christ's words only. They have doctrines that are clearly and decidedly created by men, created by the opinions of men about what they think we ought to believe or think or what have you. It is theological. It is resulting from theological study of men of Christ's words. But doctrines are specifically the teachings of Christ, if it is the doctrines of Christ. So therefore, any doctrine of Christ should specifically be what Christ taught. Not the opinion that somebody thinks he taught, or what they think he ought to have taught, or ought to have emphasized, based on their private interpretation of the gospel. It is very important that we only preach as doctrine what Christ actually taught. And so therefore we have a record of that in the Gospels. So we go to the Gospels and we write down what he actually said, what he actually taught. We don't interpret it. We don't have a right to privately interpret that. I don't care if you wear robes or a Roman collar or if you have a big hat on your head or any of those things. The only one who has the right to interpret the gospel according to Jesus Christ is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit doesn't dwell in, you know, a group of men that have authority over you and can tell you what to believe and what you can't believe. The Holy Spirit dwells in you, or he doesn't dwell in you. And so it is up to you to determine what that says. Now, you can go and ask a lot of advice, and you can discuss this with lots of different men, and you can do a lot of studying and reading about it. And churches and ministers can do a lot of writing about it and talking about it, and we do all the time. But the reality is, what Christ said is up to you to figure out what Christ meant. It is your job, and it should not be the job of any denomination to tell you what Christ said as if they speak with authority. Because we were told by Christ not to exercise authority. Now, we can speak with authority about what we believe and what we see, and you determine whether you want to walk with us in our walk of faith. And we will determine whether we want to walk with you in your walk of faith. That's the perfect law of liberty. You come together and you associate based on love, common faith, that you see in one another, and you judge that by the fruits of our actions, not by the color of our cloth, not by the ID card that we carry from this church or that church. You have to actually make that decision based upon the leading of the Holy Spirit and the facts and information that you are able to glean. Now, gathering facts and information does not allow you to determine by itself. That's living by the knowledge of good and evil. And so you have to have that Holy Spirit to even tell you what facts and information to accept and reject. So what is the things that Christ said to do? Well, he said that we weren't to exercise authority one over another like the other princes. So this was, he said this at the time when he was appointing the kingdom to the apostles. He took the kingdom away from the Pharisees who had it, and he gave it to the apostles. It was my good pleasure to appoint unto the little flock, you know, this kingdom. And then he does it. But he says you're not to be like the princes of the Gentiles. In other words, they weren't just apostles, which means ambassadors. They were princes of a kingdom. They were the government of his government on earth. It's not like other governments, but it was a government. It's another form of government. They couldn't exercise authority. And when you say that the apostles were princes of a kingdom, people say, he's not a king like that. I mean, they can't tell us what to do. Well, of course they can't tell you what to do. It's a free society. They can't exercise authority. They can tell you what they think you ought to do, but you have to decide. It is the society where when you pay your taxes, you pay them because you tax yourself. And you say, this guy's a good public servant. And you pay him because you think he's doing a good job. If he's not doing a good job, don't pay him. It's not the kind of government you're used to. It's the government of God, where the free choice that God gave you back in the garden is back in your hands. Now, what you do with that is between you and God. You don't buy the minister. I can tell you there are plenty of ministers who can be bought. But if you want to go to a church where your ministers can be bought, then you probably don't want to go to Christ Church because Christ couldn't be bought. So you're looking for ministers who can't be bought, that are good public servants, who don't want to kick in your door or exercise authority over you. want to share with you their faith and their understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Is that the kind of ministry you've got? Or do you have one of those controlling ones who want to tell you what to do all the time? Because that kind isn't going to work as far as getting you closer to the kingdom. You know, the word Corban means to sacrifice, but it actually comes from a word that means to draw near. Because by your personal sacrifice, you draw near to the character of God and the character of Christ. It's very important that you pick the right ministers. I heard Rand Paul, I guess it is, that's Ron Paul's son. Someone were able to download it on their phone, and I heard him. He was talking on a talk show, one of those late night, I think a Letterman talk show, and he was talking about government. Well, that's great, because the Bible is all about government. The gospel is all about government. And the government of Jesus Christ operated in a very specific fashion, in a very real way. And that operation left the power of governing you in your hands. You had to govern yourself, because now, you could just do this with your own will, but if you governed yourself with the will of Christ, now you're talking about self-government. Government of the people, for the people, and by the people. Any other government, when you elect lawmakers, that's not a government of the people, for the people, and by the people. That's a government of the lawmakers. Often for the lawmakers, and certainly by the lawmakers. Who tell you, you got to have health care, you got to pay in this so much, and if you don't, they send men to your door with guns and kick in your door. Well, that's not a government of the people, that's a government by force. And until John the Baptist, everybody tried to establish the government of the world by force. But John the Baptist didn't. He said, you know, if you got two coats and your neighbor doesn't have any, you share. That's a different kind of government. That's a government based on faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty. You don't have that government in whatever country you live in unless you're seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness, because God wants you to have the choice as to what to contribute to government, to do the things that you do. And he was saying, Rand Paul was saying, that certain things are better handled in the public sector. Well, everything is better handled as far as government is concerned in the public sector, but what does your public sector look like? I shouldn't have actually said that. Not everything is better. But the things that are better to be handled in the public sector, we have to ask, what kind of public sector do you look to solve the problems of society? Do you look to a public sector that can exercise authority one over the other? Or do you look to a public sector where the princes of your government don't exercise authority one over the other? Now, I was talking to a fellow known to some of us as LB the other day, and he was talking about all these people that come and they want to be free. But they don't want to be responsible for anything but their own stuff. They don't care about anybody else. They just care about their stuff. And I said, you know, I told you for years, you got to give up on those people. They just wear you out. They just drain you. They're like herding cats. It's exhausting. When I first took sheep out on the desert, I had black-faced sheep, or actually kind of a mottled face. They were crossbred sheep. Well, they would go everywhere they wanted to go. You know, we'd get one that just headed out and just took off. Some sheep would follow it, and other sheep would go this way. They had no herd instinct, no gregarious nature to them. They were just out to fill their bellies. About run my legs off. I was a young man, could keep up pretty good, but I finally got a good sheepdog and put a little fear of the Lord into him. A little black and white unit running around out there in the desert. Whee! Pull over. She'd make them pull over. That's what you got to do when people have no gregarious instinct, don't have any herd instinct, don't stick together, don't care about anything but their bellies. Then you got to get black and white units we call them border collies out here, and they run around and they make sure to put a little fear of the Lord into these guys. And that's what you have to have with those kinds of people. The slothful should be under tribute. Only the diligent. Diligent in what? The righteousness of God. You have to care about others as much as you care about yourself. Now you're not just thinking with your belly. Now you're thinking, hey, I got to stick together with these other guys. There's coyotes out here. There's mountain lions. There's bobcats. If we don't stick together, they're just going to eat us up one at a time. You know, a sheep's got a brain no bigger than a cup. He's figured that out. What's wrong with you? How come you don't come together? Well, that's what Christ is talking about, is coming together. And he told you what you have to do in order to come together and stay together. You have to be ready to forgive, so that you will be forgiven when you screw up. There you go. Good government policy. If you're going to be a government of the people, for the people, and by the people, you need to learn that government policy of forgiving one another. Okay, what else did he tell you to do? Give. You're going to have to share. You're going to have to be health, education, and welfare. You're going to give to the ministers who really help out the people in coming together and being a government of the people, for the people, and by the people. That's your public servant. And you're going to have to support that public servant, whoever you pick. And if he doesn't do a good job, you can stop paying him. That was one of the things that Rand Paul was talking about. Certain things should be in the public sector. Everything that should be in the public sector should be in the public sector of Christ, under the perfect law of liberty. He was talking about competition out there in the real world. If you're not a good plumber, nobody hires you. You know, if you're not a good doctor, nobody hires you. If you're not a good comedian, nobody watches your show. It's competition. Well, there should be competition in government, too, and in the kingdom of God, there is. If you're not a good minister, nobody wants you as their minister. Well, now, if you want to be bossy and controlling and tell everybody that they're saved just because they said a few words and they make them feel good and get a choir that sings and makes them feel good and they like feeling good, then it's all about themselves and it's not about anybody else. Well, you probably can be a success, because there's a lot of fools out there. There's a lot of foolish women out there who don't understand the kingdom of God. Just want to feel good. A lot of, and I say foolish women, I'm talking about the men who are foolish women. Nothing more foolish than a man who's a foolish woman. Can't get more foolish than that. And that's what you find in a lot of the churches out there. I've got an article coming out on News of Views that talks about that, because I'm quoting other ministers who talk about the same thing. No, the kingdom of God is for the courageous, for the loving, the men who love one another, who are there for one another. The wait a minute men, the men who show up in a minute. When there's a need, they show up. When they say, I'm going to do it, it gets done, like a Roman centurion. You don't have to tell me twice. If I say I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. That's the kind of character you're looking for in the kingdom. You don't want a bunch of survivalists who are looking out to save themselves. You want people that are willing to think about saving you as much as they're thinking about saving themselves. People who show up, people who do what they say. You can forget all the other political rhetoric and, you know, our forefathers brought forth a new nation, and it's a government of the people and for the people and by the people when the people take the responsibility of being the government. And this is what Christ was talking about. Just like Joshua and Gideon. I and my family will not rule over you. And neither would the apostles. They're not going to rule over you, but yet they were rulers. They were princes. They were ambassadors of the kingdom, bringing the concept of the kingdom to people, and it got real popular with some people, wasn't real popular with other people. They had welfare in the kingdom, but they actually had welfare that strengthened the poor. If you didn't work, you didn't eat. Now, maybe if you couldn't work, okay. Okay, you got two broken legs, you can't go out and do the work in the field, but you can sit at home and spin wool. You could do something. And if they see you trying to do something, they'll make sure that, hey, you know, the guy's trying. But if he's just trying to find out what's on TV all day long, sucking down the Pepsis. I pick on Pepsi. We could pick on other soft drink companies. Something recently, he went to town and he bought how many cases? Was it 6 cases of Pepsi? 24 cans. He says, I drink 3 or 4 a day. I don't think that's a good thing. I think that's adultery. Yep, that's what I call adultery. If everybody thinks adultery in the Ten Commandments is just about, you know, having marital relations outside of your husband and wife relationship. No, adultery is adulteration. Anything you do that damages your body, you damage the whole family. You damage the whole community. They're going to have to take care of you when you come down with diabetes or whatever, you know, all that bad food causes in you. I saw guys mixing Pepsi once. I worked as the head of security for Pepsi-Cola in Minneapolis, and they were mixing it, and they were like wearing the Andromeda strain outfits, you know, white suits and respirators and going up in an elevator to put the stuff in the vat, and you couldn't be in the same room 50 feet away. You couldn't breathe. When they opened up the stuff they put in there, it was bad. You couldn't breathe it. And you guys are drinking this stuff. It's probably the same in the other pop companies. And I'm not saying you can't ever drink a pop, but you shouldn't be drinking 4 or 5. I know people that actually open up a liter bottle. When they get sick and they don't have any teeth left and they got to go to the dentist, the government's going to pay for that. Your government, because you're the government of the lawmakers, by the lawmakers, for whatever the lawmakers want, and they can't get elected unless they cater to all these people who don't want to take care of themselves and want to adulterate their bodies. You see what you're doing? You've created a socialist state because you coveted your neighbor's goods to the agency of these lawmakers. You yourself are caught in the same net. Proverbs 1. Cast in thy lot among us, let us all have one purse. What did Proverbs say about that? My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. In other words, they want to take the blood of their neighbor and benefit from it socially. They'll have a social welfare system where they will be taken care of by their neighbor. They're actually living by the sword. Because the way they guarantee that money comes in, that they send men out with guns to take it from them. I'm going to go on to First Amendment Radio, and we'll talk more about these things in the kingdom, and we'll find out what the doctrines of Jesus Christ really are. And everybody, Everybody should try to find out more about the Whirlwind Tour. We're going to be coming to a state near you, and we'll see you there, and we'll tell you more about the kingdom.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.